Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in.
Yes,
look,
sir.
Look. We came to break down a few cognitive. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you the message.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down
and
in the mouth to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live and live.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live and live.
From politics to the current events, economics and race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live and live.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live and live.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's for real.
Yeah.
know, we'll address
it. Yeah, we'll address that. Yeah. Our opinions on it, because everything is pretty much our opinions and what we've either gone through or what our friends and family have gone through, and they helped us, we helped them. So it's just pretty much our opinion. Everyone makes their own assumption of or own opinion as to what they're going to do in their situation. We're not telling anyone to leave anybody. We're not telling anyone to stay with anybody. We're just saying this stuff happens, and there are choices, there are options for you guys to do whatever you guys need to do.
Yeah, choices are very important. It's the choices we make that ultimately dictate the direction our life is going to go in. Choices are very important.
That's why this topic is perfect.
It's perfect. So we're going to go ahead and get right into that. Don't be angry you picked them.
Yeah.
And this happens a lot with people who they go into relationships blind, and because there's eye candy, the person looks good, they're in need at the moment, they're in a needy type situation, they're vulnerable, whatever the situation is, they jump into stuff too quickly. It don't work out within a 3-week, 4-week, you know, 6-month period, whatever it is. It don't work out, and then they're upset at the rest of the world because they'll say things like, let's say a woman meets a guy, and within 2 weeks she starts lending him money.
Okay.
Now, right away, you stupid. You should be lending nobody money after 2 weeks of knowing them. Okay. So this is what happens.
Okay.
They lend the money, and they keep doing it. They don't get paid back, or was never loaned to begin with. Now they break up, and they want their money back. And the person's saying, money, you know, you gave me all that. I'm not giving you nothing back, right? So then they'll turn around and say, I'm never helping anyone else again ever in life. So then somebody will come to you really in need, but because you were stupid with this other relationship, now you're blaming everybody else and no one to help nobody else who may really be in need.
Okay.
So
I get your point. I don't all the way agree with the point.
Yeah, what else is new?
But I get your point.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, and primarily it's women that are in that giving, okay? Women are givers. That's just, you know, what we are. We're givers. Givers, we're nurturers, But we're also sympathetic, especially with the one that we're with. Now, we have this thing, and I'm guilty of it,
too. Who are you with in 2 weeks? You don't know them.
But see, you guys roll out the whole big carpet. Oh, you're so beautiful, and I never been with anyone that like you.
And no,
we don't know you think because we just, you know, we're thinking that you guys would not do anything to harm us. We're thinking that we're taking you at your word because what do y'all say? My word is my bond. And then we sit there and like, okay, well, you know, he said he's gonna pay me back. We're gonna trust you. We're gonna believe you. Now, if you are deceptive, that's what you got to live with. It's not our fault that you are convincing and that you say that you really, really need it for you got to pay this bill or your lights get shut off or whatever the case. We want to help you out because, one, we haven't. Because then if we did help you out, what would you say? She's so dirty and nasty. I don't want to be with her because she don't even help me out. She's stingy with her money or shit.
But I understand that. And why you got to make your mouth like that when you I understand that, but you don't know anybody after 2 weeks. You meet people on the internet. Take another situation.
Okay.
They'll meet somebody on the internet and move in with them or let them move in with them after 3 weeks, a month. You know them on the internet, they're moving in with you after a month. These stories are pervasive.
Yes.
That's nonsense. It's not.
But you got to start somewhere.
It's not. We want to believe you. Have some common sense.
But you got to start somewhere. You can't sit there and say, okay, I got to be with you for a year before I do anything for you. You just don't. This doesn't make any sense in a relationship. You don't. You sitting there.
It's not a relationship. It's been 2 weeks.
But they don't know if it's going to turn into a year. They don't even know if it's going to be a marriage. It might be. It's got to be 2 weeks. It's got to be 2 months. It's got to be 2 years. So you can't say that in 2 weeks, I can't sit there and say, well, you know what? We are together. You know what? I don't want to see him out in the cold. You know what? If I can, you know, give him $500 to go towards a down payment in the car, okay. But if now here's the part that I think that you get frustrated in is that when, and I agree with you on this, is when after 2 weeks and then it starts going south, then they get bitter and angry. Mm-hmm. And then they want to sit there and say, screw the whole world and all that stuff. And I that's the part I agree with,
right.
Because this is the part where the topic is very essential. You pick that person
right.
to do this with.
Mm-hmm.
And it even goes further than that. Even in a long-term relationship, say you've been together with someone for 5 years, you have a kid. That, to me, that's the biggest part of this.
Mm-hmm.
You have a kid or two kids, and then you two break up because one, infidelity on his part, maybe, or he...
Or her part.
Or her part. Or...
That's right.
Or you know, they just didn't get along, or you know, lies, or anything like that. Then this becomes really crazy because that's when people start really getting mean and nasty. But you're sitting there like, but you love this person wholeheartedly for 5 years, 10 years. And now you can't stand the air this person breathes. Now you don't want to have them anywhere near the kids, which is his kids too. Now you want to take them to court and take them for everything you got. He got what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the part that bugs me, especially in the long-term part of it. Now you all of a sudden you just flip the switch because you're angry. You picked that person to do all this stuff with. The kids suffer the most because now they got to choose between parents,
mm-hmm.
and they shouldn't have to. They didn't have to when y'all were together. Why mm-hmm. they got to do it now? That's just the most. Now, that to me is crazy.
They should never have to choose between parents.
But it does.
People always using children as pawns.
Yes.
When they get angry and want to split the relationship
mm-hmm.
or whatever the case is. And, you know, I'm not going to generalize. Typically, women do that because a lot of times women get the children and the man go and live separately and he
mm.
get his visitation,
mm.
pay his child support, you know, hopefully
mm.
or whatever the case is. And, you know, a lot of times when the other spouse, former spouse, is trying to go on with their life,
mm-hmm.
one spouse ain't going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're going to use the kid. I don't want my kids around that B. You know,
mm-hmm.
You don't have that man around my kids. And they go back and forth with this nonsense like they're not supposed to have a life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're angry at a person that you picked. To have a child with. You know, I saw a court show the other day. I think it was a Judge Alex was on the
mm-hmm.
other day.
Okay.
Alex, you know.
That name, right?
So, on this court case, this woman goes to a club.
Mm-hmm.
She in court suing the guy.
Okay.
They met at a club. After 2 weeks, she was pregnant. They were engaged. After 6 months or whatever, now she in court suing them for money she gave them. Why are you pregnant from somebody after 2 weeks? Now you're angry.
Are you back to
and then,
thing? Okay.
Right. I mean, that just seems to be,
that?
People move so fast,
mm-hmm.
right? And then wonder why they get screwed up. So then she's, afterwards on the interview after the court case, I'll never help anyone ever again.
Now what is that 2 weeks?
Because,
let's just change that a little bit. What if that 2 weeks turn into 2 years? She was the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
She met in the club or however they met. In 2 weeks, she loaned him money and everything. And then six months later or whatever, they had a baby and they
mm-hmm.
got engaged or whatever. And then
she was pregnant after two weeks,
and then they got engaged and got married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it happened to be they were together for 2 years
mm-hmm.
or 5 years. You know, what's the difference? My question is this. We don't know where that 2 weeks can go. Either that 2 weeks is going to go south or it's going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's where I'm hung up on.
Well,
you
shouldn't be hung up because first of all, why are you sleeping with somebody unprotected in 2 weeks?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Getting pregnant or getting some kind of deadly virus or disease
yeah,
or something.
That's
you
what
know,
I'm saying.
If you just out there and want to have some fun and sleep around, protect yourself. When you bring a child into the world without giving them a chance to have a two-parent household,
mm-hmm.
you know you're not going to be with this person.
But
so,
you don't know that. You don't know that. Say, for example, you and I got together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I always use you and I.
Yeah.
We get together, and 2 weeks after we get together, you say, babe, I need $300. And I'm sitting here like, so you're saying, I should be saying, no, I'm not going to give you $300 because I don't know you that well. Or it's only been 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I don't give money out to boyfriends that I don't even know for 3 weeks. Now you can do the same thing in 3 weeks that you can do in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can screw me. Meaning, like, you can say, I ain't going to pay it back because we're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that. to me the length of time. It's a matter of you not seeing the signs and saying to me, if I'm gonna loan you money, I'm not gonna really expect to see it back unless I'm like really it's a large amount.
Then you know what they do. They always try to convert a gift into a loan when they're angry and bitter,
mm-hmm.
and the relationship has gone south.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want to turn a gift into a loan.
Right, right.
Because they haven't been
paid
back.
We have problems with that too.
And now they got another person that they're seeing or whatever case is.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're angry. You got them in court trying to sue them for stuff you gave them.
Right.
What are you angry about? What are you angry about? Sometimes people don't know how to cut their losses, man.
Well, yeah, it's cut the losses. I mean, there's other motives of why they do that. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Would you believe people take people to court,
yep.
to court just to see them again?
Yeah, I believe
craziness.
That. I believe that. But also, too, it's also like, you know, you may have broke up with me. You may have cheated on me, but guess what? I'm going to make you pay. So they go back to court. They take them to court, do all this stuff. And then at the end, when they win, they be like, ha, I won. That's the other part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's another show because that really gets under our skin when that happens.
Right.
But my thing with this is that, and I've done this. I've actually, you know, I was married before, and I have a son. And I actually apologized to my son. I didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I apologized because of my mistake. I chose a man that wasn't the material or wasn't the material that I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was angry, I'm sure, and he was definitely angry about the breakup. But I had to apologize because now I created a mess by not saying, you know what, he's really not what I thought he was. He's really not what I wanted him to be. Because I guess I was in love, and a lot of women do this, and maybe men too, you can chime in on that. But we're in love with the idea or the potential of what this person could be.
Mm-hmm.
And when they fall short of the potential, we tend to be, we're almost angry, but then we try to make up for that. And then when it really in our faces say, this is not working, yeah, we're going to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because we put so much into this person. We made it to where this person doesn't have to do this or that or all this stuff. And then they fall short of that. And so we get angry.
Yeah.
So
but
I apologize.
Know, but you know, all right, and that's the individual decision that you have to make. But you didn't see that until later in life.
Mm-hmm.
When you see that you made a mistake, but was mature enough
mm-hmm.
to understand it was your mistake
right.
and not be angry.
Right.
I think that's the key.
That's the key.
Okay, you have to be at a point of maturity to understand the decisions that you've made. If they're coming back to haunt you, you've made them.
Mm-hmm. And
okay?
they're in fact.
You can't blame the person that you chose
right.
or the friends you chose to be around or the person you chose
mm-hmm.
to sleep with or whatever because the decision is ultimately yours.
Right.
Yeah, we can be betrayed, deceived, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That happens.
Right.
But all these should be learning experiences.
Right.
If you don't learn from it, you're going to continue to make the same mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You can't turn around and be angry.
No, no.
You should
no.
already know better.
Right.
The only difference between being dumb
mm-hmm.
and being stupid is stupid is forever.
Oh, my.
See, we all do dumb things from mm-hmm. time to time, make dumb decisions, whatever. Yeah, man, I should have did that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're stupid, you're just hopeless. I mean, I feel so sorry for stupid people because they're all over the place. And you wonder why. You ever look at a person and be like, you just like garlic, onions in your eye.
Garlic?
Onions,
wow.
whatever. You're
okay.
like, what in the, you know, you think it's, as they talk, you're thinking, what in the world?
Yeah, what were they thinking?
You know, so.
Okay, wait, they weren't thinking.
Oh, they weren't thinking. So you get that kind of effect from people
mm-hmm.
sometimes, and it's like, you know, you chose to go into a certain situation, and then you want to blame everybody in the world or put your anger on them.
Right, or that person. I mean, you blame that person for your mistake because you could have easily ended that situation a lot sooner. And that's one of the things that's happened to us. We stayed longer than we need to stay and make the situation worse. And you get angry because of that. You get angry because, yeah, you tried and everything. Okay, this person is not going to change. This person is full exposed, okay, and they're still not the person that you want them to be. You're still doing this, and you're still having to do this, and he's still lying, or he's still cheating, or he's still, you know, taking money out of your bank account and not telling you, and all this, anything. And it's just, you just have to say, okay, this is enough.
Right, because I was herself and different things. She had likable qualities.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Okay. But in general, she was hood.
Mm-hmm.
She had no real ambition. She had no cooth about herself.
Right.
She didn't know how to watch her mouth. She cussed like a sailor and all these different kind of
mm-hmm.
kind of things. And she came from a very, you know, abusive background, so she carried that
right.
with her and everything. And I came in, you know, on it, like this white
like
knight.
Sir Galahad.
Sir Galahad, this white knight. And you can't love a person more than they love themselves,
right.
or you can't want more for a person than they want for
right.
themselves. And I learned that the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me angry because no matter what I did, it never seemed to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't perfect by a long shot.
Right, right.
But I put everything I could on the table
mm-hmm.
to make life better, you know, for her, for
mm-hmm.
the children or whatever. And I always seemed to be falling short
mm-hmm.
because there's certain areas that I just couldn't get past,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it made me angry when all the signs were there early.
Right, right.
Okay?
Exactly.
You can't help her. But I wanted to stay and conquer it with love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you know how much I love her and
mm-hmm.
she'll get past this obstacle.
And that's the thing.
You know.
Exactly.
It just wasn't working.
Right.
And it hurt real bad.
Yep.
And it made me angry for a long time. Like,
mm-hmm.
I give my all to somebody like this, and this is what happened,
mm-hmm.
and blah, blah. But in short order, because if I didn't come to grips with that,
mm-hmm.
you and I wouldn't be sitting here.
Right.
I had to come to grips with the decision mm-hmm. that I made early.
Right.
There were so many signs in the first 3 months of us being together, the first 6 months. The signs were there.
Mm-hmm.
I chose to ignore them because something was standing straight up in the air.
Oh, my.
And I chose to stick it somewhere, and I was having fun, and I ignored the signs.
Now, is that stupid?
You can say that, because I'll think
right.
that
because,
wrong.
Because you're going on, it's stupid, it's stupid. It's not that it's stupid,
it's dumb.
Really.
It,
right.
Dumb
it's
decision.
Not right. So it's not that it's stupid. We the matters of the heart. We can't help who we fall in love with. And I know it's so cliche, but it's so true. Because sometimes you hear people's stories and you're like, girl, you didn't know that was like, he was like that. Oh my God! And then you turn around and you with someone and they do the exact same thing. You're like, well, but, you know, he's so cute. And, you know, when
you make excuses for
yeah,
him.
You
with
do.
Nonsense.
You make excuses and you pacify him and you look it over and you say, oh, okay. Or he'll come and do something and make you forget all about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we fall into that trap.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does.
Right.
So you can't say it's stupid. It's just the matters of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn how to say what's more valuable to us. You know, and I hear you talk to a lot of your people, and you ask them this, and I think it's a great question. What are you willing to live with for the rest of your life? Is it to have a peace of mind? Are you willing to live with this
mm-hmm.
for the rest of your life? Because this person is not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do leave, if you do decide to leave, you cannot be angry with that person. Because you consciously chose to stay with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, to me, that's just the point of it. You can't be, you cannot be mad at somebody because you chose to stay. You're only mad at yourself, but you
take it out on them. And everybody else.
And that's not
but
fair.
You're really mad at yourself.
Right. But once you get past that part, like, you know what? This was my fault.
Right.
This was all me.
Right.
All day long.
Right.
Because I could have been out there,
yeah.
out doing whatever I need to do, but no, I chose to stay. That's my fault.
Right. Right. And you just have to understand that that's just a whole different level of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is what we implore upon you people to understand is that, you know, the Bible, if you want to go to the Bible, be angry but sin not. You know, God himself knows that,
mm-hmm.
that we get angry. And everything,
this is when I speak the most intelligent.
This is my Malcolm X.
Oh, okay, I don't see that often. Okay, I don't see that often.
But,
okay,
you know, but
preach on, brother.
Yeah, but be angry. Wow. Be angry, but sin not. And, you know, God himself knows we get angry. It's what we do with that anger.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be constructive anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do with the anger. We have to channel that anger
mm-hmm.
Into positive energy
right.
and not negative energy. So once you realize that it is you that made the mistake, don't carry that because anger is like just bad luggage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it can sit around for a long
time. And heavy.
Time. a new situation, that person deserves a clean slate. Mm-hmm. They don't deserve all the anger that you've been dealing with for the past 4, 5, or 6 years.
Right.
That person deserves a clean slate. Let them mess up their own slate.
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
you know,
exactly
let them mess
right.
their own slate up. But you don't have the right to bring all your anger because either you was abused or molested or cheated on or your mother neglected you or whatever situation is, bring it and put it upon this person and expect them to deal with it. You just don't.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
You know, it goes by so fast.
I know.
You know, just don't be angry if you picked them.
Yep.
Learn from the situation and go from there.
Right. So, let's go to our question.
All right. Well, we're going to have a viewer question here. And this question comes from Chloe.
Chloe? Chloe Kardashian?
No.
Oh.
Thankfully.
You say, girl, Chloe, you need to call me, girl.
Thankfully. Chloe from Wisconsin.
Okay.
Do the Kardashians live in Wisconsin?
No. I don't think they have shoes like they have.
Yeah, it's cold in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And the question is, can you just be a friend with someone who's attracted to you? Is that possible? I'm going to let you start because I'm going to be real quick with this one.
Well, I say it like this. And I've been in that situation where there's someone that I thought was a friend, but was a friend, and end up they had feelings for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, once I found out about it, it was very difficult to be around that person because, you know, I started to see certain things of before where I was totally oblivious from it because there's times where I'm totally oblivious to someone who actually really likes me. I'm not there. But when it came out, I could see where they were, like, the compliments and getting me gifts that were, at the now, were inappropriate because now I know what you're going after.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming after to like me and want me to like you and stuff like that.
Yeah, the intent is different.
The intent is different, right. And then once I realized that it was never going to be because I just wasn't there, then they became...
What?
They didn't
angry?
Like, yeah.
There's that word again.
Yeah, the rejection.
Uh-huh.
And I had to be very, you know, cautious about it because I didn't want nothing to happen to me.
Right.
But I had to be very cautious to how I interacted with that person and to let that person down, like, you know, gently.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out, but boy, I got this, it's so funny, I got this book that this person gave me, and, I mean, he was writing poems about me, that something that a girl does, my name and his name, never seen a guy do that.
Guys don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, then you could see where it was a light, airy poems, it went to dark poems, because when I told him that we weren't going to be together, and scratch outs, and all that stuff, and he, you know, left it.
Yeah, you had a real nut on your head.
Yeah, so, but he wasn't a stalker. When I said it was done, that you know, we weren't ever going to be together, you know, it was a cut, but he just couldn't keep the book anymore, so he gave it to me, and of course I destroyed the book because I didn't want to be bothered with that.
Wow. Well, you know, I don't think that's possible to be friends with somebody who's attracted to you, very much attracted to you, because they're always going to be looking for an end. Even though they're playing your friend, playing your confidant, you can go to them with everything, they can hang out with you, you can go to the shoe store with them, or whatever the case may be, they're always looking for that end.
Yeah.
You know, if you're arguing with your boyfriend or your spouse, they're looking for an end there. If you're having trouble in your family or at the job, they're looking for an end there. And the end is always going to be if them needing somebody to console them, them needing a shoulder to cry on, them needing a confidant, that stuff tends to lead to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to lead, I didn't even expect it. We just kissed, and after that, blah, blah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That, you know, you can't be true friends because they always got in the back of their mind, I'm going to get this one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to sleep with them one day, so one day they're going to be mine.
Right.
You know, Chris Rock put it, you know, it's a dingling in a glass case. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And kiss Christ, emergency,
yeah,
glass.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're just hanging around waiting for you to break the glass. They know it's
coming. They know it because they feel it's coming.
It's coming.
And they got patience.
They got patience, but they'll wait around and wait around and wait around and wait for the opportunity. So
yeah.
I don't think it's possible to be friends with somebody who's very attracted to you, or you can't even be friends with somebody that you're attracted to.
Right.
And that's never going to work.
Yeah.
Either you be with them or you're not. Mm-hmm. If you're married or in a relationship and you got a friend that you know is attracted to you, you got to kind of stop that, wean that, and slowly, you got to tell them just straight, we can't be friends no more, so beat it. You know?
Now, why you got to have that voice?
Beat it. You know? You don't do that, but you kind of like wean off the relationship slowly, spend more time with your spouse, whatever, so you don't get yourself in trouble.
And yeah, you don't want a third party in your relationship waiting in the wings. You don't. The husband will get kind of like, why is he always around?
Why is he always around? Hanging around here. You know?
Exactly.
Did you do anything before?
Oh, and a woman, please. Oh.
Right. Yeah.
No. That's just my friend. No. Nah.
Yeah. Because women are real deviant.
Woo!
They'll be friends and come hang out with your wife and this and that. You know, and as soon as your wife is not around, they're pouncing on you.
Nope.
Women can be real treacherous like that. You know, so.
Yes, and that's why you just need to, like, cut it.
Yeah, so Chloe, to answer your question, I don't believe it's possible.
I don't either.
And neither one of us believe that that's possible. So we're going to end this show right now. On that note, we thank you once again.
Thanks, guys.
rxutv@gmail.com. Also, you know, go to our website, linkcourtprod.com, linkcourtproductions.com. Get a look at everything we're doing there, the shows that we're doing, because we're a television and film producer.
Yeah,
our company is called Link Court Productions, and we're doing a lot of different things. So check out the website, linkcourtprod.com. We thank you. We love you. And remember, the key to successful relationships is to use your brain
and not your heart.
Relationship extra. Get at us.
Bye.
Something's on music. Hit the unreal when you start talking. Yeah. That's a good function. Because when Layla acting up, hit the mute. What the hell is she doing? You gonna get that dick out of her ass or what? Hey, new dick is terrible. It's like Brandon.
Are you muted?
No.
But aren't you live?
I'm not on live. She
gotta take
the call. She gotta take the call.
And blessings. Alex. Live on the phone. You got my niece in the background raising all kind of sand. What is going on?
I don't know. I was talking, and apparently I was live. I didn't know it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. That's
Can
funny. What's up, Free Baby? Stoney back there cracking
Hello?
Up. Because you know I talk mess.
Oh, my God.
Stoney back there cracking up.
Oh, God. Well, for all the listeners, you have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. And tonight is Tuesday night, so you know Relationship Extra is on with Stoney and Alex W. Lee. And I have on the line with me Alex W. Lee.
Hey, what's up,
and
baby?
And my niece who just turned 2 years old the other day, Layla. Stoney.
Yes.
Hello, all.
Hello, hello, hello.
Okay, so what is our topic for tonight?
Well, the topic is, and you were talking about, you know, I interrupted you, but our daughter here, your niece Layla, just turned 2 last Thursday, and I wanted to wish her a happy belated birthday over
yes.
there. And the audience who may have heard me talking mess between the break, you know, I talk mess now, but so... If
oh
you heard
my.
Something you wouldn't want to hear or found offensive, I apologize for that. So, okay.
Okay, the subject is, don't be angry, you pick them. That's the
okay,
subject.
And can you please, for the listeners, tell us what provoked this topic?
Well, well, sometimes we get kind of tired, a lot of us, too, because we keep seeing, I mean, we watch a lot of Judge Judy and court shows and divorce court and everything. And a lot of times, a lot of these court cases are wounded people who want to go after their exes because they broke up and either found somebody else or cheated on, did him dirty somewhere else. Judge Judy, she always calls it out and says, you can't bring someone to court because they doing something else. You can't use the court system for that. And so you see how angry they are, you know, because you can hear them. He cheated on me, and it just comes out. And me and Alex, we sit here, we say, wait for it. And then when Judge Judy doesn't want to hear about it, here it comes. And he cheated with me with somebody else. And Judge Judy looks at him and says, okay, goodbye. Case is dismissed. Because she knows what it's about. It's not about anything with the court. It's about the heart. And that's how we just started talking about it. So
yeah, that's not an actionable offense to bring somebody to court because your heart is broken. And then they come into court, and they try to turn loans they try to turn gifts into loans, and that's not how that works. Now you buy a person a bunch of stuff, you take them out, you take them on a trip to Aruba, you get their kids money. You're in a relationship. Then a relationship don't work, you want everything back. What kind of idiocy is that? So we just
I have a loyal listener and a good friend of mine who happens to be a New Jersey detective,
mm-hmm.
and he was seeing a woman for almost a year,
mm-hmm.
and during the course of their relationship, it's ironic that you were talking about this very thing, because he told me just last week that he was seeing a woman for a year, and then what happened was, they broke up because let me tell you what happened. For all the listeners, you have to learn how to utilize your phone properly and put it on lock when it's in your pocketbook, because you can accidentally engage a telephone call to somebody who at that very moment you're talking about.
Right.
What happened was, this woman was talking about my friend, saying, yeah, I'm not going to be with him because he thinks that he's just going to be doing X, Y, Z to me, and we not getting married. Because I asked him, was we going to get married? And he said he didn't know. So, and, you know, she happened to be one of those church people. So eventually, you know, he called her back and said, listen, you know, you really should have put your phone on lock because I heard the entire conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they had an argument and wound up breaking up.
Right.
Well, during the course of their year relationship, he spent thousands of dollars on this woman. He prevented her house from going into foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
He gave her thousands of dollars every month to pay the mortgage. Took her on 2 vacations,
like a dummy,
and all kinds of stuff.
I would be
and
like,
then
I would,
one day,
you giving me this when we're not married? Oh, hey, we don't have to get married. You know, she getting all this now.
Right. And then one day, he gets the mail, and there's a summons for his appearance to go to court.
Wow.
And she sued him for the stuff that she bought him over the period of time that they were together.
Wow.
He called her and said, really? You going to do this? So he went into court with all his receipts, bank records, showing all the withdrawals from his checking account, all the canceled checks, all this stuff. And, of course, wind up, the judge was actually going to rule a judgment in his favor. And he told the judge, no, I just want to be free of her. I just want to be rid of her. And the judge was really pushing for him to say yes, and he was going to throw the gavel down on a judgment against this woman. Now, what kind of fragonackle stuff is that? You know, that's my word, fragonackle. That's a real fragonackle for you. I'm telling you.
It is. That is very crazy too. I mean, when this is what I think I was trying to say in the recording earlier, is that when we get into a relationship, we don't consciously say, okay, if this person asks for money, I'm gonna calculate every money that I gave this person. If we don't make it, then I'm gonna ask for the money back. So when the relationship does end, why do people automatically want to start calculating all the monies that they have spent on them? Because they're hurt, and that's the only way that a lot of people feel, I'm gonna get them in this pocket.
Well, you know, I've said this time and time again, hurt people hurt people.
That's it. That's exactly,
you know,
right.
That's, well, exactly what happens. And when a person, both man or woman, is scorned, mm-hmm. and they don't know how to walk away. You see, you know, here's a problem that I really see that is happening, because it's happened to me, and I know it's happened to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Why you got to get scorned and you can't just walk away gracefully?
Right.
Why can't you just fade into darkness, or, you know, just fade out of the atmosphere? Why do you have to try to stir up problems or try to do something to injure an individual? What
right.
is that about?
That's what I mean by cutting your losses, because what's your peace of mind worth?
Right.
I mean, you move out of a person's house.
There's no value on my peace.
What do you say?
There is no monetary value on my peace of mind.
That's it.
I walk away from everything for my peace of mind.
But apparently it is on these people, because they move out of a person's house that they were in a relationship with, and they go, oh, man, I left my DVD player, I left a couple of CDs, I left a couple of pillows. Well, I'm going to go to court and sue them.
Mm-hmm.
A DVD player costs nothing.
Right.
Buy the DVDs again. Get you a couple of pillows, you know, but they want to take the person to court for this nonsense. Cut your losses. Go on with your life. But, no, they want to just continue to try to hold on and get that person back. I'll show them in court. It'll be in front of, if it's a television court show, I'll get him in front of 10 million people. And I'll show him. I'll show the whole world he's a cheater. Why does it matter? You know, take your stuff and bounce.
Mm-hmm.
And leave it at that. But people just can't seem to do that. And they're angry because, and particularly if you're a person in your late 30s, you into your 40s, you should know all these lessons already. So you should see signs in the beginning and not keep falling for the okey-doke. Because the more you fall for the okey-doke and get into these relationships and they don't work out, the angrier you get with each relationship. It's not working. You're angry. It's not working. You're angry. If you've been in four relationships in a year and a half, you're the problem,
mm-hmm.
not the people you're picking.
Right.
Okay? So you got to come to grips with that.
Okay, that sounds like something that Brother Mark would say.
And Brother Mark would be right.
No, he wouldn't.
Brother Mark would be right.
No.
How many times you going to blame other people, Bree?
You said what?
It's not so much. It's not so much. To me, it's not so much that it's the people. It's me. It's sometimes it's my circle or what I'm gravitating to. So I'm not saying that it's me. I'm not saying that it's the other person.
To you. What about what attracts itself to you?
That's right. That's what I'm saying. It's what's attracting to you and what I'm accepting of that of those people. So, for example, if you're married to somebody and that person just happens to be a chronic cheater, okay, and that person, you know, hey, wants to empty out your bank account, and it's okay, so you say, okay, fine, I'm leaving. You go to the next one. And that person is okay in the beginning, and you tell him your story and how you've been through all this stuff, and what does he do? Maybe not as fast as the first one, but maybe 2 years down the line, he becomes a chronic cheater. What do you do? You can't say that it's all you because you did everything that you possibly could. You're a great person, and you're pretty sure that person is a great person, but just not for you. I say that about my ex-husband. He's great with the wife he's with now, but he wasn't great for me, period.
And trust me, whoever you are, you take it to the next person. It's only a matter of time, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
It may seem as though he's good now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, I know this for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Who the person is, they're going to be with whomever they're with.
You're still rolling the dice.
It might not come out right away.
Nope.
But there are certain behaviors, if a person doesn't really try, will never change.
Right. Unless they want to change. There's some people that just want to change and realizing that this behavior hurts people. So sometimes they say, okay, well, I'm that's something I don't want to do.
You're still rolling the dice.
Yeah.
You're still rolling the dice. Even if you was with somebody and it went okay maybe for a couple of years or whatever, then the person started acting up and did all these things or whatever to you, okay? So now you've been hurt. But why, if you just been hurt, devastated, why are you in a new relationship a month later, 2 months later? Give yourself some time.
You know why? Because
you're stupid.
When you're hurting, a lot of people do not allow themselves time to heal because it's easier to be distracted than it is to face yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's easier to be distracted than it is to face yourself. So at what point, then, do you face yourself?
You know what? You know what's the point? Sometimes a point never comes for an individual, but if you have a person that, you know, does have the ability to take accountability and to self-reflect, at some point in a person's life, you cannot run away from yourself. You're going to have to face yourself at some point in the situation.
That's my whole point. So.
And when you do, if you constantly been running away from yourself, eventually you're gonna have a breakdown. You're gonna have an emotional meltdown
mm-hmm.
because everything that you've been running from is gonna come crashing down on top of you, and
mm-hmm.
you're gonna realize that no relationship that you try for will be worthwhile because you ain't dealt with yourself. You must deal with yourself before you unleash yourself on some unsuspecting individual.
Mm-hmm.
Bree said it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Bree said it. But Bree needs to make the audience understand. Bree needs to make the audience understand that, you know, you just can't jump from thing to thing to thing to thing and at some point not take accountability. You see these people all the time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're always in between relationships talking mess, okay? Why are you single? The last one did this, and then the one after him did that. Then the one after him did this, and this one did that, and that one did that. Well, what did you do or didn't do? When do you start
mm-hmm.
taking stock of yourself to say, I have to be better, either in my choices or either within a relationship structure, I have to be better. Because you know how
Here's the thing about that, and Stoney, you know, we being in the same, you know, club, the she woman, men haters club.
Yeah, okay.
You know, this is a common problem with women. To what I've seen, not so much experience, but what I've seen. You know, they don't take much accountability for the stuff that they do. And I know my female listeners, you know, Bree is pro-woman. Mm-hmm. But I also take an unbiased stand. I have to be able to see both sides. And
right.
When I weigh each side on the scale, women, down, hands down, I don't feel that women exert their power source or tap into it enough. Because I'm sorry. The truth is, women rule the world.
What power
women
source?
Rule the
booty?
World.
No.
Wait, hold on a second. We rule the world, and you know what? We actually control the course of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't set the standard for what you want, and you accept what is put before you, that's what you want to get. And then you can't complain about it,
right?
Because that's what you allowed to happen. And Stoney, you were on the line one day when I think it was you, me, Alex, Turtle, Mark, and Chris, and you heard Turtle say to me, "Well, Bree, do you think your standards is high?
Mm-hmm.
You know, too high?" And I was like, "No, these brothers can't even accomplish the basics." Now, when
mm-hmm.
the basics become a high standard, then, you know what, we might as well just all jump off the side of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that Bree said it. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, and I think you're absolutely right, because, like you said, some of them can't even get past the basics. And then we become, as far as some people would say, we're high sedity. We get a lot of names for that. Some guys will call us names because they can't get close to us, and you know, I remember watching Janet Jackson one time, and everyone looks at Janet Jackson, oh, she's so beautiful and everything, and oh, if she wouldn't date a normal person, normal guy like me, and what comes out, and then we turn around and she's dating what's his name, Jermaine Dupri. Okay, and he's not the most greatest looking dude in the world, but most times, because everyone's sitting there thinking, if she's got all these high standards and all these, you know, you have to do this, you got to move the earth and mountains and all this stuff, when all he had to do was just go up there and just talk to her and just say hi, what's going on, treat her like a human being, and it just melted so much stuff. And everyone was like, she is a regular human being. And her standards are not as bad as what people may think. Your standard, if a guy wants a top-notch woman, your standards won't mean a thing, because he already met your standards and surpassed them. That's my opinion. If a man can't meet your standards, and he's not up to anybody's potential, if he can't meet basic standards. But a man who can, your standards will be obtainable and then some.
Mm-hmm. What standard? Yeah, somebody explain to me what the standard is. Bree, what's your standard?
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
I hear
Wait. The minute I start hearing something about some booty, I'm going off.
Oh God.
Oh, my standard. Oh, boy, I always get sucked in the bowels of degradation with you people, man. My standard. Okay. Well, my standard is very simple. One, there has to be disclosure. I'm not doing this in any particular order. I'm just putting what my standard is out there. My standard is disclosure. and my standard is communication.
Mm-hmm.
And if and the third and most important thing is respect. And if we have those three things working in unison, we have the foundation for building something really great.
Mm-hmm.
All three things must be present at all times. And they're equal. No one is more important than the other.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot operate with an individual without those three things. So that's my standard.
You're right.
I'm going to add in trust. There's got to be a level of trust there. I'm not saying trust that, you know, for cheating and all that stuff. I'm saying I want to get to know you, to trust you that you are who you are, meaning if I'm going to use this because it's, to me it's kind of funny. If my husband, if I see my husband coming out of the hotel room, I can trust and believe my husband did something. I don't want to hear, oh, I didn't do anything. I just sat there. I was just talking to the person. I don't want that kind of stuff. I want to know that, yes, you thought I messed up. Don't make me look like, don't treat me like a fool. Okay? To me, if it's a duck, it's a duck. If you look like a duck, it talks like a duck, it's a freaking duck. If you were coming out of the hotel room.
If you come out the hotel room, there's not a duck.
Oh,
take that D out and put an F in.
Oh, my God.
So my
point is, if something happens, if anything goes down, I want to trust and believe that you will be man enough, just like I would be woman enough, to say that this is the situation, this is the deal, in any situation, not just in a negative situation, but if I go and buy a pair of shoes, I don't want to have to hide my shoes. These are my shoes. I paid for them, or you paid for them. I bought me some shoes. You trust me? Oh, she went by DSW. She bought her a pair of shoes. I can trust my wife went into the shoe store and bought her a pair of shoes. I kind of make light of it, but trust is a big thing because once it's broken, it's so difficult to get back.
Yeah.
Well, the reason, for me, and you're right, and I could have said that too, but when I sort of disclosure, usually disclosure shows the integrity of an individual, you know, because it shows that they have the ability to show everything and put it on the table, and you
mm-hmm.
take for what and who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a level of comfort and trust present in order for that to happen. So, yes, trust is also an equal and very important element to the standard.
Mm-hmm. But how do you deal with the anger, okay? Because
what anger? I'm not an angry person.
Okay, well, that's what you say now, okay? But you've been an angry person. What was that?
Are we putting my business in the street? What's
business
that
in the street?
You said I was an angry person. How do you know I was an angry person, Alex W. Lee?
What?
He had to put the W in there.
Oh, that means she's upset with me. But we were all angry at one point or another when we're hurt initially. Okay,
uh-huh.
So
clean
the
it
point
up.
Is, how do we deal with that initial anger and not try to go after the person in any kind of way without
well,
feeling we need to
first
be redeemed?
Well, I don't think you should. I don't think you should ever use retaliation as a means to get back at anyone. I mean,
mm-hmm.
look. Here's the thing. Here's a creed that I have lived by my entire adult life in dealing with the opposite sex. And it's real simple. I ain't holding on to nobody that's not holding on to me. If you do not, if you make it clear in your actions and or your words that I am not what you want at any given moment in time, you are free to go.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some women that don't feel comfortable enough with themselves
mm-hmm.
to let somebody go because they're not confident that if they let what is dysfunctional go, that they will never be able to encounter anything pleasant and healthy.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's easier said than done.
Well, I want to say something that, real quick, Ashley, I don't mean to cut you off if you were going to say something else.
No.
I wanted to say something to my father had taught me, because I lived with him when I was 16, and I pay a lot of homage to my mother because my mother is a fantastic woman, and I learned a lot of classiness and things from her. But my father taught me something that I carry with me at all times in every situation that I'm in, and he said, don't let anybody bring you out of your character. Okay, and that's what happens a lot of times with a lot of people when it comes to matters of the heart. That their character they're wounded, so they come out and they become someone that, you know, that they don't, probably you don't even recognize themselves because they're pulling out of their character, and then they go back. I can't believe I even acted that way. I watch again my reality show. Housewives of Atlantic Wives, NeNe Leakes. I mean,
Housewives of who?
Housewives of
what kind of wives?
Atlantic Housewives. But anyway, so when she looked back at, and she didn't realize that this is how I sounded, this is how I am. When I, you know, letting someone get under your skin, letting someone, you know, get to you. To get something out of you, and you respond in such a way. I mean, I responded in fear a lot of times, and I realized that I had the power. I had to give that power back to myself, and I took away their power, so I wasn't afraid anymore. So
that's people pushing buttons.
Yeah, and that's all this is people, someone trying to push a button to get a rise. Well, if he's not going to love me, then I'm going to make him angry. I'm going to make him suffer. Mm-hmm. And same, and you know, and that's a lot of women try to do that. They try to gain control over that, or you know what, he got another woman, but if he comes over here, I give him some poo-poo, then I'm going to tell his woman that I was just in bed with him last night. They try to, that's pulling you out of your character. And women, we don't need to do that because it doesn't make us look good in any light like that. It really, really doesn't.
And that's also when people do that, that's also hurting people.
Yep, and that's what Bree
said. So they call up other spouses and stuff like that and say, oh, yeah, I'm with him now. He got on green drawers, you know. So,
green
drawers? Hey, man, green boxes. I'm not talking about the dinginess. If they dingy, you shouldn't be with.
That's what we're going to do right now, is take a commercial break. And when we come back, we have a caller from 917-653, and we should bring them on the line because they've been patiently waiting to express their thoughts. So for everyone who's listening, you're listening to Stoney and Alex W. Lee, host of Relationship Extra, and we're going to a commercial, and we'll be right back.
It is important for you to get your healthy dose of the Bree Life Radio Show, because when you miss the Bree Life Radio Show, you miss moments like this.
And of course, there's those are there that they get mad for holding matrimony. They got mad for holding matrimony.
And this.
The reason why a certain group of women attract themselves to internet dating is so that they can lie.
We can't forget about this.
I had a stalker. I had to get an order of protection. You got a woman that you've been with for 7 years, so you do it. You do it something right.
Come on, Bree. Don't look. Stop it.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
So let's take that deep breath in because we're about to go in.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life.
And we're back. And tonight is Tuesday night. And what do we do on Tuesday night? We listen to Relationship Extra with Alex W. Leap and his beautiful wife, Stoney.
Aw, thank you.
Lies. All lies.
And as promised, we are going to bring... What did you say?
I said lies. All lies.
All lies. Yes, with my with surround sound in the back, my beautiful niece, Layla. But
oh, yeah.
As promised, we're going to bring on the caller from 917-653 on. Good evening.
Hey, guys. It's Red.
Hey, Red.
Oh, no.
How are you?
Excuse
me.
How are you?
Oh, no.
Tony, how are you? Be quiet.
I'm doing fine.
Good.
How are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm hanging in. I'm doing
good,
well.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, you,
oh,
yes, you can hear.
Got it. Got
What's
it.
Up, Red?
Hey, honey, how are you?
I want all the audience to know right now that this on the line is Red Sable.
Beautiful and, Red Sable.
And with a name like Red Sable, you know, what you sell with a name like Red Sable? Huh?
Okay,
what's going on here?
Please don't let me.
That's a nice escort name.
Okay, you know what? You know.
I give you permission to pop it in the back of his head. I really do.
Oh, think about it.
Thank you for saying that. It's not. First of all, it is not a stripper name. It was a name that's a combination of things that I love, like Sable being the meat and Red being the color. And when I first came up with the name, it was supposed to be a name of a group that I was managing like 15 or so years ago. And instead of giving them the name, I decided to keep the name because it suited me better. Okay, I'm not a stripper. I don't oppose strippers. I strip for my man, but I'm not.
That's right. There you go.
Mr. Slick, you just have something smart to say. You know what? I'm not even going to press about you right now. I'm not.
Are you going to address the topic?
Yes, I am going to address the topic. The topic.
What's your horror story?
Oh, wow. Do I have a horror story? I have quite a few horror stories. But what I have been thinking about when I was listening to you guys is that I have always held on to, when I was in my 20s, I held on to anger a lot. And then what I've noticed is that you men thrive on the fact that women are always angry because you know that's another way in. If we feel some kind of emotional attachment to you guys, that being anger or with crying or whatever, then that's another way for y'all to get in because we feel something. So I've learned to practice indifference. So that's where I stand. So I'm
really?
Not going to be hating on yes. I'm not going to be hating, and I'm not going to be taking you to court, and I'm not going to be taking my stuff back, and I'm not going to be doing all of that. What I'm going to be doing is self-reflection and trying to figure out what it was that went wrong on my part because as I've grown as a woman, I realize that we all come into our relationships with our own separate issues and baggage. And then we meet someone who we share this information with, and they share with us, we hope. And then we collectively take that baggage and put it back in the closet somewhere because we're trying to move forward fresh. Unfortunately, we tend to get into these relationships with people who don't know self-reflection, who really don't understand themselves, who don't know where they are, where they at, where they're going, and so they don't understand what it means that when I tell you some information that really bothered me, and then you take that and throw it in my face when we have an argument, and now that I no longer want to be with you, you want to take everything that you gave me, including the drawers that I no longer wear that got a hole in them. What's wrong with you? So that's a problem that I find in relationships with people who have had no growth because they don't know how to grow. So what would be the point in me taking you to court to take that stuff that I really don't want anyway? All I'm doing is showing you that I still want to be with you, that I cared enough to spend money that I don't have to take you to court to sue me for money I know you're not going to give me and that I'm not going to get in the first place. So what would be the point? So it all sounds really counterproductive to me. So my thing is don't get angry. Just reflect.
So,
take the time of yourself. And reflect on what you've done, that's all.
So and let me know if I'm getting this right. You said all that to say you got a hole in your drawers?
No, silly.
Oh, my God.
You have got no sense whatsoever. That is like everything I just said, that's all you got? That's all you got out of it? You need vitamins, some B12. I don't know. You need some help. Because I don't know how you got just that out of everything I said. Well, you know what
you
I
know,
mean.
Table, you know, red table. I deal with this every day. So
I bow. Hats off to you. Woo!
But
I do
want to address you, Red, seriously, though. And what you said about self-reflection, and I was going over this with Bree weeks ago and very recently, is that most people don't do self-reflection because they're simply afraid of what they're going to find, okay? Mm-hmm. We're afraid of what we're going to find within ourselves, because once we find out what the issues are with us, then we have to say, it might have been my fault. Mm-hmm. That I've been in 4 relationships in a year and a half. It might have been my fault I've been divorced 3 times. Maybe it was my fault my kids are acting up. You know, so this is why self-reflection is necessary but scary. Mm-hmm. And this is why people tend mm-hmm. not to do it. You know, you have more people running from self-reflection than anything else. Because if we really knew ourselves, we would make better decisions as a whole.
And but there is no choice. You have to. There's no choice between should I, can I, ooh, I don't know. It doesn't matter how scary there is. There is no growth without some type of I guess, what am I trying to, without fear. There is no growth without fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, without struggle, there's no progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell you guys a story real quick. It's about a friend of mine, and this story is, to me, is pointed because she meets you can see her anger, and she's married, and she's married to a great man, and she's a very good person as well, but she has issues that I see and her husband sees, but she chooses not to see them, okay? So, and that's why I want to bring this up, because sometimes we don't see our issues, but everyone else's, but no one can tell us, and this is a great point in that, is that her husband keeps telling her, I'm lonely. But he says it differently. He says, you don't spend time with me. You got time for everybody else. And she says, no, I'm going to church. Oh, no, the kids need this. Oh, I got to go to work. Oh, my best friend's over here and this, that, and third. And what is it? He's home. So the last time that they spoke, an argument type of thing, and he said, if you can't be there for me, I'm going to find someone who can. She took that as, if you want to step. That's how she took it. You want to bounce. So she, of course, called me and telling me all this. Now, she knows when she calls me and tells me this kind of stuff, I'm going to get into it because I know how she is. So I'm telling her, I said, what are you not doing? I've been telling you this for a while. And because there was an infidelity at one point on his part for the same situation. So she forgave him, and he's telling her, I'm not feeling the love. I'm not feeling the love. I need my wife here and all this stuff. And I told her, I said, you're not doing what you need to do, because he's telling you, and now you're meeting it with anger because you're thinking that if there's another fidelity, because you're saying the fidelity is coming, I'm going to tell him the marriage is over. But the infidelity is there. The marriage is done. Sorry. So, but you're not saying to yourself, but everything could stop if I just do what he wants, which is one thing, is spend time with him and not everybody else. And so once I put that out there to her, she called him and they talked, and he said the exact same thing I said. I'm lonely and I want to be with my wife, and you're pushing me away. And she said, she come back, she says, oh, I hate when you're right. But we have to start looking at ourselves, like I said, the self-reflection thing. We have to start looking at ourselves when things start happening, and people will tell us, I'm not happy right now. When this happens, this doesn't make me feel good. This does not make our relationship any better when you do this. Is there anything else that we can do to make this better or make this easier for you so that we can move on? And a lot of people aren't just doing it. They're just saying, you know what, I'm out.
And you know what? That situation that you just explained, Stoney, 100% she's going to blame him if he went out there and did something.
And that's
where
that,
she's not going to look at herself.
Blaming the action
right.
that he did
right.
in counteract to what she wasn't doing.
Yeah, she's the symptom. Okay, she's the symptom that caused him to go out there and react in a sick way that he would ordinarily act out in. Okay, so she has to take that into account. If a person come to you not just once, twice, several times. This is what I require from you. Can you do it or not? And you sit there and tell that person, yes, I can do it, no problem, we good, blah, blah. And you turn around and don't do it, you can't be upset with the person for acting out. And you can't blame them when they act out. At least they came to you. They didn't just go out in the street and act a fool. They made you aware of the situation. So, Red, how do you feel about that particular situation, Red?
Well, I really think that it's unfortunate that he will, and I don't want to put anything on her like that, but if she doesn't fix the issue, he will go out and he will cheat again because he is telling her that he wants her and needs her. He's not really looking for nobody else, but if he can't get what he needs at home, then he will go out and try to seek that elsewhere. Will that make it right? No. Two wrongs never make a right. However, he's already screaming for her attention. It's like the child who constantly gets in trouble, and you're constantly yelling at the child, what's wrong with you? Keep right. Why can't you stay out of trouble? And they're constantly trying to tell you, well, because you always working, and you doing this and that, and you with so-and-so, and I just need you to be with me. What am I supposed to do? And then you only pay attention to them when they're angry and messing up, they're going to keep messing up because that's when you're paying attention. So he's going to cheat again because that's when she's going to pay attention, and that's when he's going to get the emotional feedback from her that he desperately needs. And unfortunately, there are a lot of women and men who don't understand how to read those signs because they don't understand who they are and how to fix what the hell they need to fix. But it won't continue the same cycle over and over and over again.
Well, you know, some people, they need drama in their life for some reason to make their life more interesting. I mean, we go through the mundane nuances of life every day, work, marriage, kids, whatever. You know, after a while, it gets mundane. But some people just need drama, so they create it in their own life to make their life more interesting. Sometimes people create drama just to be able to call people and go, girl, guess what he did?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just to have stuff to talk about. You know, a guy will go out and create drama knowing he got a good woman sitting at home. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He'll come in after work and provoke an argument just to get out because he just saw some sweet booty he needs to try to get at.
Mm-hmm.
But he make an excuse to get out of the house, to go out here and vent to his friends, to go out here and chase this booty that he done seen or already getting out there somewhere, you know. But he don't want to take into account what's really going on with him. Why can't you just come in the house and go, babe, you know what, I have these urges, I can't control them, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's not going to happen in a typical relationship setting. You know, I know a young lady. This is a true story. I know a young lady, and her husband cheated, and 2 days later, he told her about it. And it wasn't the first time he did it, okay? He cheated and came home and told her about it. Now, her response to that should be, okay, what do I do with this information? I have the information. What do I do with it? But if she don't act on it, she can't become angry. You know what I'm saying?
Well, here's what I want to say. I think before we expand on that, we should take another commercial break. And guess who's on the line?
Uh-oh.
Our brother from Houston, Texas, Mark. So we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and bring Mark on the line. And it should really, really, really be interesting. So,
oh, gosh.
Please hold on. Oh, that's...
It's the Breed Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
When Breed Life's up,
you gotta turn it on.
It's the Breed Life Show.
You gotta turn it on. The Breed Life, the Breed Life. You gotta turn it on.
It's the Breed Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
When Breed Life's up,
you gotta turn it on.
It's the Breed Life Show.
You gotta turn it on. The Breed Life, the Breed Life. You gotta turn it on.
Tune in Wednesday and Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for Real Talk about Real Life. Inhale and breathe light. It's the Breathe Life Radio Show on blogtalkradio.com/BRILIFE.
It's the Breathe Life Show.
And we're back, and tonight, you know, it's Tuesday night, and that means, guess what? Relationship Extra is on with the beautiful Stoney.
Yay.
And the very interesting and opinionated Alex W. Lee. And guess what? We are amping it up. And who's more opinionated than this brother?
Mike. And where is he?
Hello.
He's there.
Hey.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Greetings and blessings from the land down under.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Stoney?
How
you know
are
what?
You?
You are the reason I called to this show.
Oh.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Because you're the voice of reason. Stoney, the voice of reason. I like, Stoney just got this demeanor. She just, I don't know. She just handles stuff just so, you know, cool and calm and matter-of-factly, and she gives everybody the benefit of the doubt and stuff. It's just crazy. I mean, man, who does this?
Do you want to get married? No.
Yeah, I'm going to get service
and pictures. I mean, wow. I'm looking for her. I'm looking for this kind of
Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you so much.
Anyway, you know, I called in. I mean, I have to admit, you know, I kind of been caught up into this, like, Miami, you know, Oklahoma game, and it's just been unbelievable. Right now, the score is 20-13, folks. It's just one.
2013, who?
2013, Miami.
Okay.
Miami's kind of have, you know, hey, the crazy thing about it, I know this is not that show, but, hey, my man, what's his name, Shane Battier, came out with 2 3-pointers right off the gap, right off the top. Boom, boom. I'm like, this is not good.
Wow.
It's not good.
Okay.
And Russell Westbrook is having a hard time guarding LeBron. But in any case, that's kind of like sometimes some people have a hard time guarding their wife, huh?
Yeah.
Nice transition. I like that, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Sometimes. I mean, so when you go outside of your relationship, when you're having problems, I mean, bring me up to speed because I've kind of been listening. And I'm trying to catch on to what's going on. What are we talking about tonight, y'all?
Well, you know, I was hoping you was listening in and absorbing all of the information.
I was kind of, but I was kind of lost, Alex. I got lost because I heard about the brother that comes home to provoke his wife because he saw some booty. That's what you see. I mean,
right.
I heard that piece. And, you know, because you always say that them things are going to be sound bites, always. You know, you're a sound bite guy. We always can count on you for that. But
yeah.
I was trying to figure out, I missed something. What is the crux of this conversation really about? What's going on?
The crux of the conversation is, the name of the show is Don't Be Angry, You Picked Them. And this is basically people. Right.
Beautiful. This is
there
a beautiful
go.
Topic for me. Okay, I'm ready now. I'm ready. I'm up to speed. So check this
okay.
out.
Okay. So let's have your 3 cents.
This is going to be a continuation, actually, on the show, this upcoming show. And the upcoming show is this. And it's about why you want to play chicken with the train. See,
right.
most people that get hit by the train, they don't get hit by the train because they lay on the track. Now, you got a handful of people that truly are suicidal. This is what I believe. I believe that most relationships are based upon the concept of playing chicken with the train. And what I mean by that is that you think you can make it across. You think you can make whatever happen in spite of what you see. Because I say in one of my things, you know, my Mark said it, is make sure you see who's in front of you before they're under you. But my theory on that really is, that was kind of a provocative thing to say, but really, to be honest, I think people do see who's in front of them before they get under them. The whole concept of the representative, I think, is overstated, because for the most part, I think when we're honest, we saw a lot of stuff. We saw that stuff. It wasn't no representative. We saw him. We saw the representative and the person the same day. We saw all of that half the time. But what happens is we believe we can make something out of whatever the situation is anyway. We think we will not get hit by the train. So we're playing chicken with the train. So you do that. You know who you're talking to. You
right.
know most of the time who you're talking to. You're not that daggone blind, especially if you're in your 40s now. Now, maybe
right.
if you're a 20-year-old girl and ain't never seen no relationship whatsoever, you get taken by the representative. Because half the time, you want what you want. So if he can even present something like a semblance of what you want, you'll go for it. You'll go for it.
Mark,
you see what I'm saying?
Mark, I happen to agree with you 100%. So I'm gonna play devil's advocate for a moment and throw something out there at you, okay? Most of us in this world leave home in the morning or whenever we leave home with our mask on. You know, if we're hurting within our household, we got strife in our household, we'll put that mask on, we'll put makeup, we'll do our hair, we'll do it, and we'll come out like nothing is wrong with us at all. We all wear our mask like that.
So we leave the house with our mask on.
Right, we leave the house with our mask on. Okay. So what happens to the person who enters the relationship, whether they're 40, 50, we wear these masks every day. So even at 40 or 50, if a person is wearing their mask every time you see them, you can take that as the real person and be fooled by that, even at later ages, because
okay, so
they wear this mask every day.
My response to that is, when you say, I'm going to play with the word that you use. You said they leave with their mask, okay? The word their indicates ownership or of that individual. That's part of them, too. That's not just a mask. That's what I'm trying to explain to everybody. You see what I call manifestations of that person. It's not a different person. It's just where you're seeing them. It's kind of like the person that you are in the morning, the person you are at lunch, the person you are when you go to bed. Your day has an impact on you, and it has a tendency to bring out the finer parts or the worser parts of you. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know that you're so much the whole concept of a mask. That mask is that person. That is one of the manifestations, one of the expressions of a human being. So we use the phrase mask, but trust me, you're not going to muster up that ability to do that frequently and not be a part of you. That is a part of you.
So
would you choose when you?
So would you say that, because you know when people drink or they get drunk, another character tends to come out. They either become aggressive, they become a jokester, they become horny, they you know. But usually that stuff don't come out until they start to drink and get that chemical imbalance. So it's almost like.
When
you get a bunch of money, money just makes you more of what you already are. And people start saying, he changed since he got money. No, that's what he is.
I think it gives you an opportunity. Again, I don't see more of you. I think you are all what you are. I think your ability to express yourself in other arenas is based upon your assets. So my ability to act a fool in New York and Chicago on the same day is limited by my finance. I can't do that. But if I was if I had the ability to have a jet set lifestyle, then I can go several places and act a fool. And I can act a fool at $100 a shot as opposed to my $5 a shot, you know, whale drink that I'm hitting. You feel me? So, no, yeah, money and all that, money and access may allow you to have a comfort level to be more of whatever it is, but it's you, man. It's you. You know, we used to call it alcohol courage juice. You know what I'm saying? Courage juice. Because what it does is it just gives you, it drops what they call your inhibitions. So your inhibitions basically are things that you usually in most situations are going to keep up because you want to have a semblance of some level of decorum. And therefore, you're feeling like, hey, I'm not going to do certain things if in most cases. But then if something lets it down, brother, it's like Alex versus Al. Now, Al coming out. Now, everybody know who Al is. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there might be a big A. There may be a big A. You got Alex, you got Al, you got a big A. You feel me? And everybody know how big A, when big A come out, big A come out when he with the homies. Al come out when the females come around. Alex come out when he comes to the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you. It ain't no different people. You know,
big A.
You know, it ain't no different people.
What you mean big A? A? You trying to say I got a big ass?
Oh my God!
You know I do that because sometimes my, you know, I'm confused.
Oh,
come on, y'all, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I love women. Ooh. I love women. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I, you know, I'm in touch with myself. You know, and
you
Alex
yourself.
Might say I'm gonna even touch myself. That's what Alex would say. I know he would. Because if
anyway,
you can't be with the one you love, love yourself.
Get back to him.
Oh,
see, Alex make me act up. I can't come on his show. I got to come on Stoney's show. I'm going on Stoney's. I'm on Stoney's show now.
But,
hi, Stoney.
But you know what, Mark? I want to get Bree or Red's assessment on a person acting out either with the mask on or whether they got the chemical imbalance of alcohol or what it may be that may cause them to behave in a different fashion. That may be other than them quote unquote normal self, whatever that may be.
Well, I'm gonna turn it over to Red.
So you are, huh? Where you running from?
No, I'm not running from nothing.
Okay, Red.
Yes, it's better as much as
I hate to
I hear it coming.
You know what? Let me pull that back because I'm not trying to give him any credit. What I want to do though is I want to go back a few paces to what Alex said earlier about the person who's always looking for drama, who's always creating drama, and who likes drama, whatever the case. Those are the attention seekers. Attention seekers are the kids who never got the attention that they needed when they were little and fell into the adulthood, and that's why they keep running around shouting the sky is falling or whatever, look at me, look at me, look at me. So that's why they do what they do in order for them to continue to get that attention. When we present ourselves to a person that we really care about, then we're on our best behavior. As we continue into that relationship, then we start letting pieces of ourselves out. We all have, I guess, multiple personalities depending upon the situation that we are in. And we do that because we can't be all of who we are in every given situation. You can't go to your 9-to-5 and be you when you're expected to produce whatever they hired you to do. You can't go to hang out with your boys or your girls and start talking like you in a corporate setting or like you at home with your mate, because that doesn't pose for you to be acting that way. So you have to juggle the different people that you are. So I unfortunately agree with some of what Mr. Mark said, because we do have different sides of ourselves. We just, as people who don't know ourselves fully, don't understand how to reel all that in and bring out the person that we need to bring out when it's time. When I first started college, I was called, quote, unquote, white girl, because they said, oh, why you talk like that? You so proper. Why you don't... What do you mean, relevant? What does that mean? I'm thinking, I'm just talking.
You know that's ignorant.
Okay, so what do you mean? Why do I not, what do you want me to say? And they were, well, you don't have to talk like that. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. And I said, but I am being myself. And if my being myself means that I'm using certain words that you don't understand, then you need to either go to English class, get a dictionary, look some stuff up, or you need to just accept me for who I am, because I'm not telling you that you sound ignorant or stupid when you talk. I'm not telling you to slim down all the slang that you're spitting all over the room. So then why am I called the white girl? So it's, but when I got a little older and I
stop thinking about it that way. I started realizing that there are certain parts of me, certain groups of friends that I can hang out with where I can pull out all of my dialect too, and they can get it, and they'll understand that we're all on the same page. And then when I'm hanging out in the hood, it's like, okay, I know I have to talk a certain way because that's the level that they're on. So I've learned how to kind of juggle my different selves in order for me to be able to continue to coexist, because that's what we're all trying to do, coexist in a world of all different types of people all the time.
I definitely agree with that. Definitely agree with that. And I usually call that layers.
Mm-hmm.
People have similar, have different layers for different levels of situations that they're in. And usually when you're in a relationship and you become, you almost become naked in a certain in certain relationships or long-term relationships, and usually the person that you're with, your spouse, something, usually knows you the best, and tend to treat you that, you know, treat you a certain way because they know certain layers, and a lot of people don't know certain, you know, other deeper layers. For example, if say forget like for Alex. Okay, everyone knows Alex is the jokester and everything. Alex has several layers that no one ever sees. I see them, but no one ever sees these layers because they are not, for him, they're not appropriate for everyone else. And you would have to be with him almost 24 hours a day, maybe 5 days out of the week for a month to actually see this layer because it's not something that he puts out on a regular basis. But when I see that layer, I know what that means, and I address it accordingly, or I let him deal with that layer, or I deal with the layer on a different level. So everyone, you know, when you go to work, you have a layer. When you go to your parents, you have a layer. Your children, you have a layer. That's something that we've learned as a survival thing. We've learned how to do that, and I agree with you, Red, totally on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we have an in-studio guest from Brooklyn by way of Harlem, USA. Oh, my gosh. We'll be bringing him on the line in a moment. But in the meanwhile, we're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This one's for you, Alex Stoney and Gigi, the representative. You know, the person who is, but they ain't. Now remember, the representative can be good. They might be able to represent for 4 years or might get her done in 2 weeks. They have a sparkling smile. Best foot forward, great humor. The one you want to take home to mama. But if you got a minute, stick around. You'll get a chance to see the frog, ribbit, ribbit, swallow your princess. You were just in the fitting room, getting ready for that wedding. Okay, now, I'm going to need you to hold your horses. Slow down. You got to know that all that glitters ain't gold. It ain't even gold-plated. So this is what I'm going to need you to do. Start seeing who's in front of you before they get under you. This has been Mark Said It in under a minute.
And we're back, and we are in the midst of a very deep conversation about what's the topic?
Don't get mad, you picked them.
Yeah, don't get angry, you picked them.
Okay, well, and we're being joined tonight with Alex and Alex W. Lee and Stoney. And Red is joining us tonight. And also, we have an in-studio guest by the name of Jeff, and he's from Brooklyn, but he ain't in Brooklyn no more. He's in Harlem, USA.
Yeah.
Good evening, Jeff. How are you?
Good evening, everyone. How you guys doing?
Hello, hello.
What's up, Jeff?
Believe you me, I've been born and bred. Don't let the crazy one tell you any differently. But I've been listening all night, actually, to all you guys have been saying, and basically the bottom line with relationships is, always wait for the other foot. Everyone leads with their best foot.
Mm-hmm.
No one walks into a relationship saying, oh, yeah, I cheat. oh, yeah, I'm, you know, I do this. Oh, yeah, I don't treat my women right. No one does that. Everyone walks in saying with their best foot, and you got to wait for the other. And you don't know where the other foot's going to fall, but that's the other foot that's got to fall. Sooner or later, it's got to fall. And that's when the real person comes out. And unfortunately, and you know, as you were saying earlier, Alex, about how a woman gets into a relationship, you know, four relationships in a year and a half, probably the other foot took about 3-4 months for it to fall. And then when it did, she realized, okay, I got to get out of here. But mm-hmm. I also agree with what you're saying about don't be upset and mad when it ends. You know, myself, I've been married, and when, you know, I felt we did everything in a relationship that we could do, marriage counseling and everything else, and I felt, okay, when this is not going to work, I walked away. Not unhappy, just not regretful, just, okay, experience, move forward. And unfortunately, you get a lot of people out here that don't do that. They want to hurt that person that they supposedly loved 6 months earlier.
Right.
Why is that? I don't know. Yeah. Could it be scorn? Could it be vengeful? Could it be just hatred? Who knows? But you got to rise above it. You got to rise above it.
You know, Jeff, you talked about that foot, you know, putting that first foot, the good foot forward. If you're not real, real careful, that foot going to end up in your ass. And that's what happens with most people, because they're not careful. They don't take their time. They don't assess the situation, particularly just coming out of something. They jump right back into something else. You know what I'm saying?
I also believe that anytime you're in a relationship that was over, as long as the relationship was, is how long you should reflect on a relationship.
Right.
You know, if you've been in a relationship for 2 years, then you should reflect for 2 years. And like Stoney said, you know, reflect what you did. And I'm talking from guys and girls' perspective. Reflect what you did. It's not always the other person's fault. And granted, it could be you, it could be the other person. No two relationships are the same, but you should always reflect, take time to find out who you are, what you did wrong, and what you learned from it so that you don't do it again. And unfortunately, a lot of people do that.
Yeah. And you know, I want to put this out there before the show ends. We got about 20 minutes or so. And this is for everybody, for Mark, Bree, Red, Jeff, and all the listeners out there. And you hear my daughter back here in the background acting crazy. Because Stoney don't mute her phone. She's shuffling papers and doing everything else while she's trying to listen to the show. But I want to put this out there to people, because we're going to do our extra show in the near future about dealing with heartache and pain. And the reason why we're going to do this is probably going to be a two-parter as well. But the reason why we're going to do this is because we're seeing too many people, spouses, killing each other in lieu of a breakup. Not just themselves, the kids, burning houses down, you know, all this kind of stuff. And for the life of me, and I may never figure it out, I'm trying to figure out what has deteriorated in a person so much, and I want Mark to start this. What has deteriorated in a person so much, but they feel like in a relationship they're so angry that that's their only recourse at the end? What do you think drives that?
Hold on a second. Mark is unable to start anything because he's in the middle of something else.
Okay.
So we're going to have to go. Maybe we should pick up where we left off with Jeff.
Right. Okay. So let's start with this. I'll pose it to you, Jeff. Okay. What is it in a person where they've deteriorated to such a degree where they feel like that's their only recourse? How do we prevent these things? What do we tell these people prior to, if anything?
Well, you know what? Again, I'll use my personal example as one. Again, you know, married 4 years, had a son, and, you know, and I try to be the best father I could be. She is just so mad and so, I guess, upset more with herself than with me, but the only person she can really lash out to is me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been divorced 2 years, and that is what I get 98% of the time when I talk to her. I don't even try to talk to her anymore. I just do everything via text, so I don't have to hear Liz Venom booing out of her. And again, we have something together. We have a child together.
Right.
And, you know, we need to work together, but she's just so mad and so, like I said, vengeful over, you know, us not being together anymore, that I think that's irrelevant to her. She just, whatever she can do and any chance she can do and every possible, you know, opportunity she gets to do something mean and vengeful towards me, she takes every opportunity to do it.
Yeah, because you have people, how do you go from the wedding day, I do, to I'm going to kill you? And
that's
mean
a very
it.
Good question. Like I said, myself, I don't have any disdain for her at all, because I feel when I was there, and this is the way I kind of live my life all the time, if I'm there and I'm doing the best I can, we're going to counseling, we're doing everything that's humanly possible to try to save it, and it's not saved, then I'm not upset because I've done everything I can do. Now, if you're going to walk in one day and just say, I'm leaving, and I'm like, well, but why? And you don't even give me an explanation, then I might be a little upset with you. But if I feel we've worked at everything and we've put all the possible tools we could do to kind of save this, kind of like a fireman with a ladder, he goes up the ladder, but he doesn't go up there with a hose, then what's the point?
Right.
So
yeah.
If you're going in and you're taking everything that you can humanly to combat and fight what's going on, and you still lose, then personally, I don't have any regret, because I know I've done all I can do humanly possible to make it work, and it's not working. Then again, we're two human beings, we're two grown-ups. Let's walk away, like I said, not mad at each other, as use it as an example and try not to do it the next time, whatever it might have been, from your
right.
point of view and their point of view. But not everybody feels that way. No matter what you do, like you said, I'm kind of like with you. I've watched these divorce courts and these people courts and these things, and people get on there, and you almost, I stand and look at the TV like really? Like really? You know, even when the judge goes, okay, that's just petty. That's not even a point of wanting anything. You just want to hurt that person. And it's like, really? Like, you live with this person, you know, 7, 8, 10, 12 years, and your only thing that you want to do is hurt that person? Again, word
what,
first
what
is good. Word the first, you know.
I was in a similar situation like you, with an angry, bitter, vindictive ex, okay? And I handled her accordingly to try to keep the peace in my own life, okay? But it has never occurred to me to go out and either kill her or hire somebody to kill her, because that's still my children's mother. Now, if she get hit in the face with a 747, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with
it. There you go, right. Hey, it happened. Sorry. Exactly.
Okay.
Wow.
So,
I'm
not doing it myself, you see. But what I'm trying to get to is, why do people make that leap to, I'm going to kill him, I'm going to hire somebody, I want him gone? And
well, I mean, I think I can shed a small light in a relationship that I had a long time ago. My ex-husband, he tried to run me over. He tried to kill me and my son that we had together. And it was he snapped. It was all logic went out the window. He did not want the relationship to end at all. And I tried to be as amicable as I possibly could. But in his mind, I was his possession. In his mind, I belonged to him completely, and I did not have the wherewithal or even the audacity to even want to leave, because he thought he had that much control. And when people have that kind of, when people feel they have that kind of control, and then they lose control, the power of the control is taken from them. It's difficult for them to have any type of rational behavior in that. So they become irrational, and he became very irrational. And I hear it all the time. They just snap, and of course he went, of course, to jail. But they called it a crime. They called it a crime of passion, because he was almost delusional. I even put him away into a psychiatric place, because he could not handle the concept of not being with me.
Mm. Okay, but so, I guess the question I would ask behind that, though, in your case, like you said, I think it was obviously psychological, mm-hmm. but when people are just angry because, I don't think that's psychological. I think that's just vengeful. I think there's a difference. And I'm not saying what you went through wasn't, don't get me wrong, I'm not discounting it.
Oh,
it was
no.
Obviously, you know, obviously a very trying and crazy time for him as well as you.
Right.
But I think
mm-hmm.
I think what me and Alex are kind of talking about is, again, you were married, and again, we both are unhappy and I decided to leave or you decided to leave, and now you're mad at me because I wanted to leave something that was unhappy.
Right.
And that's where my confusion lies. And I think that's what Alex's question is, why are you so mad at me when, again, it wasn't like I walked in one day and said, okay, I'm leaving, and we were having a happy, joyous, walking in the meadows type of marriage. You know, we both, like I said, both unhappy, one sleeping on the couch, one sleeping in the bedroom, barely saying two words to each other, and then one of us decides to say, okay, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore, and now you're mad at me for saying I'm not doing this anymore.
And that's,
like,
and that's
really?
What happened with me. I woke up and I was, he wanted me to stay in a marriage that was not going anywhere. He wanted me to stay in a marriage that was not benefit of anything. And I stepped up and said, instead of him saying, you know what, let's go both our ways. We've outgrown each other. We didn't have such a situation where we were arguing all the time because he wasn't an arguer. But when I stepped up and said, this is not the marriage for us. Our relationship is not going anywhere. Then that's when he changed and wanted to keep me where I was. So, like I said, his brain snapped. And to me, I think that in a lot of places, people hold on. People take possession of other people, and they don't have the right to. And so they become vindictive.
Right.
And they think that how dare you, after I did this for you, after I invested and committed my life, regardless of what we're going through, there are some people who feel that divorce is not an option. But
right.
For them, but the other person is like, but wait a minute, but what if I don't want to be here? You telling me if I try to divorce you, it's going to be a problem? We shouldn't have to feel that way when we're in a relationship. We should be able to say, this relationship does not work for me, and before I cause any more harm into you or to anybody else, I'm going to leave. But that other person is going to try to force me to stay or fear me into staying with them, and that doesn't work. That is not cool, and that's not fair to the other person. You're taking my choices away from me because you're not comfortable in being by yourself or moving on.
And I agree with you, Stoney, and that is where most domestic violence relationships began, because of issues like that. But what I wanted to interject in saying is that if you're in a bad relationship and one person is saying they're ready to leave and the other person is not, then why would it be unheard of or unreasonable or unthinkable that that person is not going to resist your leaving? You are ready to leave. You are saying it's over. That person is not.
But what if you both are unhappy?
But it doesn't matter. If that person is not, if that person in their mind is thinking, but I'm still in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not working, but we're still together. Yeah, you're sleeping on the sofa, and I'm in the bedroom, and we haven't had sex in so many months or whatever, and we fight like cats and dogs. But until I feel that it's over, at the same time you feel that it's over, then it's not over. Because they're still holding on to the love that you once had. So
right.
Why would it be unbelievable to you to think that this person is going to resist your leaving? Of course they're going to resist your leaving. You should expect that. In fact, you should have a backpack and ready to run and jump wherever you got to go to get away, because their reaction is not going to be favorable. Did
exactly.
You expect to go off with a parade and send you off with a bag of money and good well wishes? And sure, I've given my life to you for the last 10 years, and go on, be happy. I wish you well. It doesn't work like that, because people are not wired that way. When they have put in a certain amount of years with a person that they thought they was going to spend the rest of their life with, even when it's not working, they are not at any liberty to say it's over, because they don't want it to be over yet. So if you come to them and tell them it's over and I need to move forward and this is not working, they're never going to want to hear that, because they're not there yet. That's it.
Well, and here's what I want to infuse into this conversation, because that depiction, Red, what you said, was my life. After 9 years of marriage, and then we were in divorce court.
And I think the worst arguments we ever had was when we walked outside of divorce court, when we walked outside of family court, and I'm on my way down the LIE, and then all of a sudden my phone rings, and it's my ex-husband. And you know what he had the nerve to say to me, like maybe a month or two before we were actually prepared to sign the papers? He said, "You know what makes me so mad at you?" And I said, "What?" He said, "You not only did you leave, but you never tried to come back." I said, "Wait, you cheated on me. And you disrespected me. And even when I tried to work things out, after I stopped being angry, I said, okay, I was in this to win it. And we have a son, and we have a life, and we have a home, and we got things, and we got this commitment. Tried to go to counseling, go to priests and ministers and family members and friends to do interventions, all of that, which did not work, and slept in the house but in separate places for a year and a half until I couldn't take it anymore. And I left. I walked out of a house that I loved because there was no more love there. And he had the nerve to fix his lips and say, I was not supposed to leave. And I said, well, why not? And he said, because we made a commitment together and we have a son together and no man is supposed to raise my son. I don't want you with somebody else. I don't want no other man around my son. You wasn't supposed to leave. And he said, I'm going to make your life a living hell because you left me.
And you know what? And he was saying that based off for better or for worse. And his definition of that is probably, as long as I make it worse, you can sit around until it gets better.
No, not that. What do y'all think? That's, I mean, just, as far as men,
damn that.
Yep.
Because he was introduced to me in 1996, and not much has changed.
That's the definition of for better or for worse.
You're supposed to wait until I get better.
No matter how much worse I make it, you got to wait until it gets better, because we're married and made a commitment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you my words, and you have to stay until I get better.
Right.
Absolutely.
Bunch of nonsense.
Yeah. And that's how some of them think.
That's the way it is.
Right. So,
that's why I said it shouldn't be unreasonable, it shouldn't be unheard of, and it should just, you should expect it. Expect any type of resistance when you're saying goodbye to someone you've spent time with, even when it's not working and you're ready to move on. Expect resistance and be prepared for it, because it can get ugly. And that's why I said that opens the door to a lot of domestic violence situations, because you've got this woman who's trying to leave, and every time she tries to leave, she has a conversation with him and tells him he's going to leave, and he smacks her across the room. Stop telling him you're going to leave. Pack your bag and get the hell out. That's all. That's it. Stop having a conversation with people that you know are irrational. You know they're never going to agree with what you're saying. They're never going to stop being angry, so just stop the conversation altogether.
That's it. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
So, and Jeff, as our in-studio guest, I should say, before we end the show, do you have any closing comments?
No. I mean, like I said, I think it was definitely think it was a good subject and pretty enlightening. And, you know, I think everybody had really good points. But like I said, if we can come up with a reason behind this, we'll be very rich.
Yeah, I'll bottle this. If we come up with it, I'll bottle it, you know. You know, so but Jeff, I appreciate you for being on. I appreciate Red for being
on.
Mark from Houston, Texas, for being on. And, you know, Bree, love you for having us on this network. You know, this is the Bree Life Radio Network. This is Relationship Extra with Alex and Stoney. We're going to see everybody next week with another topic. You can send all your emails, concerns, you know, questions to rextra. That's R-E-X-T-R-A. TV@gmail.com. rextratv@gmail.com. So we look forward to hearing from you guys then. We thank you. We love you always. And we see you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You.
Love you.
And thank you. Have a good night. Love you.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Adrian in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we're going to go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree. Breaking down the next shit to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live and live.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live and live.
From politics to the current events, economics and race, whether you're